Hey, this is Dave Brenner from Theory of a Dead Man, and you're listening to This Week in Geek.
Did you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, we're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back, they're gonna save the world of geeks. Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back, they're gonna save the world of geeks.
Hey guys, what's going on? You are listening to This Week in Geeks Nerd News Network. I'm one of your many hosts as we travel around the world that is and was over the past 7 to 14 days, depending on how we wish to do these things. I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd, but I'm joined in the birdcage here in Guelph, Ontario with
Alex.
And of course, just a few steps upstairs through several floors of children, and I'm pretty sure a satanic cult.
Although I'm pretty sure the floors aren't made of children.
They could be. You don't know. The walls,
they used
man.
To be. Long time ago.
So yes, we have Mr. Christopher joining us also from the Inverness complex, I guess we'll call this place.
Can we call it a compound?
The compound, yes. The Twig Guelph compound.
Or an institution.
Don't drink the Kool-Aid.
Asylum.
And holy shit, we have someone joining us from the Windy City himself.
Yes, that's right. You know, the reason why they call it the Windy City is not the weather. It's all the politics.
I thought it was because everybody eating all that really gross lasagna that you call pizza, and then there's farting everywhere.
I leave Chicago pizza alone. It's better than New York.
Yeah, it is, because New York pizza kind of sucks anyway, too.
Well, New York sucks in general, so. Yeah.
I don't know. I really like New York compared to Chicago, if I had to pick a city.
If I had to pick the two pizzas, I'd pick New York.
Yeah, same here. Mostly because I like the bigger slices.
I'm a thin crust person, so I guess I would pick Rhode Island.
Like, oh fuck no! What the hell is wrong? Rhode Island thin crust? Are you fucking kidding? Like, I like thin crust too. They have a place here in Chicago called Pete's Pizzeria, best thin crust in town. It's
I didn't even realize Rhode Island was a thing.
It's probably the only thin crust in that entire area because otherwise people get shot.
No, it's actually two very different camps. Yeah,
better be deep dish or we're gonna beat your ass.
No, it's two very different camps. It's both deep dish and thin crust. So it's not, you know, they live on two very like different aspects.
The only time
I lose weight, I'm on a thin crust diet.
Yeah. The only time I've ever had that stuff is when I was in Calgary, probably about 15 years ago.
That's cowboy deep dish. That's different.
It was good. It was okay. It was a little much, all things considered. And do you realize about every 5 to 10 episodes, the pizza topic inevitably comes up?
Yes.
Everything.
Yes, it does. True.
It is the language that speaks to all nations.
The sad thing is here is some restaurants do pizza and squid. Not squid on pizza, but calamari and pizza. I'm like, no.
I try that. That'd be okay.
Some places here do, you get like jumbo shrimp.
Yeah, I've had that.
Yeah.
I love anchovies
or
on pizza.
There's a lot of Middle Eastern pizza places here, so they all have like
halal or whatever?
Shawarma poutine, which is like the most Canadian hybrid thing you could possibly do with Middle Eastern food.
That's really weird. I'd so totally try that.
Shawarma poutine, I want some of that now.
Dude, you know the shawarma that you like from around the corner?
Yeah.
Think the all of that on top of french fries with cheese curds and gravy.
Now, where can we get this and how much is it?
Almost everywhere in town.
Hey, Blair!
I'm coming down.
Yeah, they do that, and then they usually do like you've never tasted heaven until you've had a slice of pizza and then had baklava right after.
Yeah. Actually, there was a place in my old hometown of Owen Sound, Ontario. It used to be this little Greek pizza place called Europa's Pizza. And you're right, because you could have a slice of pizza, and for dessert for a dollar, you get this big-ass piece of baklava. And it was so friggin' good.
Nuts, pastry, and
honey.
And honey. Amazing.
Delicious.
Mike, did you just say you like anchovies on pizza?
I love anchovies, man.
You are fucking wrong, and you need to turn in your turtles card right now. There's no anchovies on that damn pizza.
Oh, but no anchovies. And I mean no anchovies. You put anchovies on this thing and you're in big trouble, okay?
Michael, let you know.
That'll do. And the clock's ticking, dude.
I have had anchovies all of one time, and I made the mistake of having it in a panzerotti.
No!
I cut it open, and it was like cutting open a dead whale. Yeah. Toss it all out.
It's got to be on pizza because it has to be exposed to the air, and you can't have a lot of it concentrated.
I would only have it if I got it, let's say if I went to the East Coast, went to like Nova Scotia or something. Because then you'd get your fresh fish.
Like smelt or something?
Yeah, or something like that. I wouldn't want canned fish because it's so salty.
See, that's what I like about anchovies, the fact that it is salty.
Well, I could just sprinkle a whole bunch of salt on your pizza if that's what you want to do.
Because it's a different texture than pepperoni. I don't know. I've tried it probably about five or six times, and only one time have I not
okay,
liked it.
Here's a challenge for the listeners. Come up with all the grossest pizza ideas you could possibly have, and then we'll film Dodd trying to eat them.
Yeah, no, we won't, because I'm trying to go on the weight loss program, so fuck that.
You won't be able to finish a single slice, so that's not going
to
matter.
Yeah, that's the point, Mike. You're not even going to be able to eat anything regardless, because they're going to be the most disgusting thing ever.
And you won't want pizza anymore, ever again.
Anchovies, boiled eggs, and mustard.
You know, I'm pretty sure I've seen that on Facebook at some point. I'm almost 90% sure of it. But as we enjoy this culinary discussion, I suppose we should probably go around the table, see what everyone's been doing over the last week or so since we've had a chance to do a Nerd News. I myself haven't been doing a whole hell of a lot. Actually, we're going to have a new rad out tomorrow or late today. Me and Alex are actually recording the Ubisoft's South Park's The Fractured Butthole reviewed on the Xbox One and the PS4. So we'll be talking about that later on today. I played through that game. Took about 25 hours. Well, you'll hear our thoughts later on today on thisweekingeek.net. What else have I been doing this week? I started watching a Netflix series called Big Mouth. I really recommend that. It's friggin' weird.
It looked really bad in the trailer, but I'll give it a watch.
See, like, that's what got me was the trailer.
It looked like they were forcing a lot of the comedy, but... I've heard people saying that either they like it or they don't like it. I know Megatron isn't going to watch it.
Oh, God, no. Steve will not watch it.
I was listening to his stuff, and he's like, no.
I love you.
Shut up, bitch. I'm not done.
Yeah, Steve doesn't really watch a lot of TV. He watches his standard, like, he watches his CW shows and things like that, but he has severely cut back on TV lately because of the fact that he's raising two young kids at this point.
We should totally, you know, secretly put them on a USB stick and call them, say they're like Blue's Clues or something. Have them put it in and totally corrupt his children.
I'm pretty sure you don't want to do that because, well, yeah, there is that. I'm pretty sure you don't want to do that because,
He's only 3 hours down the road.
And he could essentially take over Twig and lock everybody out. Yeah.
So basically, what you're saying is, get all the passwords, change all the passwords, and then go scorched earth by showing his children cartoon porno. Basically,
this is why you're an evil, evil man.
Yes. Just yes, very much no, so.
I'll give that a watch.
But yeah, other than that, though, haven't been doing a whole. How about, finally I have time to watch Star Trek Discovery and the Orville. My plan is to start that this week. Because with all the Dice Warrior stuff we've been doing, and I've been running Shadowrun, we recorded the first couple episodes. Dice Warrior's Halloween special comes out this week. With Alex was in it, actually. We did Call of Cthulhu, an adventure I called The Dread Child. And if you've also been listening to Dice Warriors, we've also been doing Star Trek, which has been a huge runaway success for us. And we've been doing the Cambridge Chronicles, which, as we talked about last week, just launched. And, yeah, we recorded episode 7 of that, or half of it, this past week. And things are starting to ramp up for our adventure. So we got a lot of really good content coming out. And that's pretty much been my life, creative writing and reviewing games for the last week or so. Alex, what about you, buddy?
I played a lot of South Park. I beat that game in 3 days. And then it's been basically the stuff with you guys, like playing those D&D type games. Still unpack. I've just started to unpack and finally move all the rest of my crap from my mom's place over. As of today, I've got pretty much everything now. And then the last 2 days, I have not slept because Mario came out.
Wait, Mario's gay?
Well, no. Well, he has nipples now.
He went on his Odyssey.
And I did. Yes. I did purchase the pajama pants thing for him, or swim trunks, as you call them.
God.
I prefer to think of them as boxers. But that game is ridiculously fun. So I've had a hard time, you know, trying to go to bed because I just want to play the game so much. In fact, I don't really want to be here.
It's okay. I understand. I'm waiting to dig into Assassin's Creed Origins myself. So
that's pretty much it for me right now. It's just been gaming mode.
And then, Tristan, what about you, buddy?
Well, I'm always in gaming mode. So this week, I've been playing a whole lot of Destiny 2. It just came out on the PC. I was waiting for the PC release. It's been out on PS4 for a while, but I managed to avoid all the spoilers. I played through it in a very, very short amount of time because the story is actually quite short. It's another game. It's all about the gameplay loop and getting more loot and pulling that arm down for the gambling addiction. But it is addictive. It is fun. I'm hoping the game evolves a bit more because there is a bit of a lack of stuff to do to keep you entertained on the same character. But it has been a lot of fun. As for my own personal health issues, my knee is almost recovered. I'm going back to work tomorrow, actually. I'll be on modified duties, taking it easy on myself for the next couple of months, and then hopefully between physio and everything else, I'll be back to normal within a couple of months. So that's really been me. Just Destiny, doing the whole game thing, playing a little bit of some Crash Bandicoot as well. It's been pretty fun.
And that'll be your first official game review for us, actually.
Oh, really? That's right. Cool. Now, remember, you put your clothes on one leg at a time, and you might want to sit down when you do that.
Do you even have a new job yet, Alex? Come on now.
No, I do not.
Yeah, see, exactly.
My new job right now is making fun of Tristan.
You've got a lot of experience.
It's a full-time gig because it's unionized. There's a lot to work on there.
It takes a lot of effort.
Yeah.
Got to just dig through everything.
And then finally, I guess we got to get the Blanchard. Where the fuck have you been?
Who cares?
You disappeared off the face of the planet.
Yeah, pretty much. The sad thing is, I got a smartphone while I did that.
Oh my god, he joined the 21st century!
No, wait. How many times did we say it's time for you to get rid of that dumb phone? I like my dumb phone!
Well, you know.
Smartphones are for dumb people.
Welcome to the collective.
Yes, exactly.
Have you noticed actually how useful it can be?
Certain things, yes. Other things, no. And it doesn't matter who it is outside of my fiance Karen, which I'll tell that story in a moment. Outside of her, and I know I can turn the notification sounds off, but every time my phone lights up, every time a sound, I'm like, what? What the fuck do you want now? Leave me alone. It's like, oh, God, I hate being tethered to that damn thing.
Yeah, you can customize it.
No, I know. I know that, and I understand that, but I'm just saying, it's like, who is that? What do you want now? Go away.
Change your ringtone to just say, "Tig old biddies."
That's funny. So, most of this year, because of the dumbass California trip I went on last year, for Christmas, the only four good things out of that were spending time with my friends Doug and Alicia, carne asada fries, and In-N-Out Burger. That's four good things out of California.
So food.
Food and friends.
Food and friends, exactly. Essentially, yes. That always comes back to food and friends, yes. I think right after my birthday in February, I joined OkCupid online, and I have zero expectations. Like, zero at that point. I had zero at that point. And I'd been on it here and there and whatever else, and I turned it off a few times or whatever else, and I think, I should know this. August 6th, I sent Karen a message, and not really expecting to get anything back, we ended up talking all that day over the website interface thing and whatever else, and By the 9th, she was in Louisville for the first time. So she's in Chicago. She's lived here her whole life. She actually doesn't like the city at all. She's lived here her entire life, and she's just not a Chicago fan at all. So I have to basically try to make her fall in love with the city again. Because I've loved this town since right before high school graduation. If I had actually gotten better SAT scores when I took the test back in high school, I would have ended up at the University of Chicago, God knows for what. But, like, I've been in love with this city for the longest time. Actually, I've been in love with this city since I was 6 years old, when Michael Knight and Kit drove through Chicago in the season 4 premiere of Knight Rider, Knight of the Juggernaut, so...
Michael, is that you?
Yeah, it's me, buddy.
He can't hear you.
Oh, okay, tell him I'm fine and I'm looking forward to working with him.
Me too, bro. Sick bay ain't my style. I'm the Knight Industries 2000, sure enough. Ready to ramble, ready to roll, ready to strut my stuff.
Does he always talk like that?
No, absolutely not. Does he always talk like that?
No. He's just picked up a few colloquialisms during his reprogramming. I'm working on it. Speaking of working...
Oh, yeah. Look, let's get out of here and get a cup of coffee, huh? Strut my stuff.
It always
My
ties,
God, you're a dork.
It always ties back.
This coming from the guy who collects girly ponies. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, but the fact that you can quote per episode, at least you're worse than a Star Trek nerd.
See, I knew it was going to tie into Hasselhoff somehow. Before he even said it, I was like, "Where he met Hasselhoff?"
Oh no, that was in Boston.
That's the first time you got a boner watching Hasselhoff.
You know, it's not about him, right? It's about the damn car.
It's the first time you got a boner whenever.
So it's autoerotica. Okay,
essentially, right, yes. There you go.
I've seen that movie Crash by Cronenberg.
Nice Grand Theft Auto 4 reference there. Autoerotica. So yeah, cool. we're not normal people. Dating, and this is a topic for a completely different day that I can do on, but dating now is not like dating was 10, 20, even 30 years ago.
Oh, fuck no.
You know, people are like, oh, how'd you guys meet? And if I'm not right there standing next to her when someone asks me that question, I will pop my head around the corner. How does anybody meet today? We met online. I mean, you know, it's like, oh, anyway. So it's so funny of the stuff that we have in common. We're not people, meaning we hate people in general, don't like being around people, don't like being in crowds. You know, like, Walmart is our worst nightmare because too many damn people. We're not church people. I've said this before. I'm spiritual. My mom was raised Roman Catholic. She was then Baptist. I consider myself a Christian. I believe in God, heaven and hell, and all that. But the act of actually going to a church service, it just freaks me the hell out because all those damn people. So, you know, thankfully we have that in common. And yeah, so she came down to Louisville the weekend of August 8th through the 10th. We hit it off well, it went well, and whatever else. Next thing you know, I'm here in Chicago for 2 weeks, and then I'm moving here, so, and that's finally all done, and I ended up proposing on October 14th. Thank you, Thomas Ritt, for that reference.
I'm 37?
We're getting married in less than 37 days in a row, so.
That seems rapid.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, everybody's like, isn't that too fast? It's so funny. She goes to therapy for other reasons, past reasons or whatever.
Sure.
Anyway, yeah. And her therapist sent home some homework for us to do. Make a list of pros and cons of either keeping the current date that we have or moving it. So pros and cons for keeping, pros and cons for moving the date. And every date that we want to move it to that has significance to us, one or the other of our friends has some, like, her best friend since childhood, Sandy and Sandy's husband, Eddie. Sandy is pregnant. She's due in April. We were going to have it April 27th, but she'll have the new baby by then. So we can't do that. We don't want to wait until August 6th because we're not summer people at all.
And I don't recommend getting married during the summer.
I don't blame you, because that would
suck. It's so hot, and if you get married in Chicago, it'll be so grossly humid, too.
Yeah, yeah. So, it's like, why don't we just keep it the way it is? December 6th, it's fine. I've already paid for Steve to get his ass out here. you know, I've got Optimus Solo, who's in Rockford, who it's just out in the suburbs. I've got Michael Wilson, who is over in Highland, Indiana, so he's fairly close because he works in Chicago, and I've got a whole bunch of people here. So, and
were you the only Southern boy on Geekcast?
No, not unless you count someone who isn't actually there anymore. Never was there when we started it, but Steve's very first co-host on All Things Transformers. He used the screen name Master Galvatron. Lived in Texas. And had the worst Texas. Like, you could not understand this guy for nothing.
He was one of them good old boys.
No, he was one of them bad old boys. Like, no, you know nothing. I'm actually in the process. I haven't started it. I need to start it today while Karen's at work. I'm in the process of writing a blog post, or I'm going to be. Kentucky was not my choice. I'm originally from Massachusetts, born and raised. It's Boston or bust. Shut the hell up. You already know this, dumbass.
Is that going to be your wedding song?
No.
Oh my God, if Mike ran out and did like the summon and then ran down.
No, no.
My God, for your wedding.
No. No, 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 no. You know, so Kentucky never really, like, technically, even though I'm not there anymore, I would have lived there for 25 years, from 93 to 2018. It was never my choice, so it would never felt like home to me. Yes, I live there. Yes, I enjoy a lot of things about Louisville and all that and everything else, but it never really, it was not, I did not consider it my home.
It was just a place to keep your stuff.
Yeah, pretty much. So yeah, lots of life changes and everything else. I'm in process of working on revamping several podcasts and doing other things and all this and all that. I had, which I'm going to have to do again, thankfully they were so nice about it. The recording software that Alex and I used did not work properly for me on an interview recently. And when that happens, and even though I make sure it's supposed to be working properly and it doesn't, I get so, like, end of the world, like, oh my God, like, kind of like when GCRN got famous for leaking the fact that Maurice LaMarche was going to be voicing Mr. Freeze in Arkham City, that's what it was, kind of like that, where, oh my God, we weren't supposed to have this in there, oh my God, this huge big thing. Well, that's how I feel about anytime I screw up with the recordings with important people.
You should be used to it by now with how many times it happens.
The sad thing is, it's happened about 10 times in 10 years, so I count myself lucky in that respect.
That's like 1%. That's actually a pretty
good ratio. That's actually a pretty good ratio.
Yeah, exactly. But that's only with the famous, like, the actual interview people. It's happened other times for other just regular records. But it's one of those things where I'm like, oh, crap, they're probably not going to want to do this again. So who I interviewed was Eric and Julia Leewald. Julia wrote Days of Futures Past from X-Men 92. Eric was the showrunner for X-Men 92. He is currently getting ready to put out previously on X-Men an in-depth book on that series because he ran it. That's actually coming up October 31st. The book will actually be out November 1st. I will put a link in the show notes that people can go directly to the publisher website and pre-order it on Halloween, because if you pre-order it from the publisher website, you can get it signed by Eric for no additional cost. So we talked to them about the X-Men show and everything else, and just absolutely loved doing that, and obviously now I have to redo it at some point. So yeah, and October 27th, Theory of a Dead Man's new album, Wake Up Call, came out. So, yay!
The BCH is where we lay our hands. The ocean beach is where our feet will land. It's 3 a.m., we're out here on our own. So take me home.
I heard their new single, actually, off of it wasn't that bad.
Wake up to a cloudy day, dark rolls in and it starts to rain. Staring out to the cage-like walls, time goes by and the shadows crawl. Crushing candy, crushing pills, got no job, mom pays my bills. Texting exes, get my fill, sweating bullets, Netflix chills. World's out there singing the blues, 20 more dead on the evening news. Think to myself, really, what's the use? I'm just like you, I was born to lose. Why can't you just fix me? When all I want's to feel numb, but the medication's all gone. To get high and forget this so-called life. I am so freaking bored, nothing to do today. I guess I'll sit around and medicate. I am so freaking bored, nothing to do today. I guess I'll sit around and medicate. Can't wait to feel better than I ever will. Attack that shit like a kid on Benadryl. Chase it down with a hopeful smile. Hate myself, I can go for miles. They say family's all you need. Someone to trust can help you breathe. Inhale that drug, but you start to choke. You fall in the Alps of an inside joke. Why can't you just fix me? When all the walls feel numb, but the medication's all gone. Why does God hate me? Cause I've seen enough of it, heard enough of it, felt enough of it, had enough of it. I am so freaking bored, nothing to do today. I guess I'll sit around and medicate. I am so freaking bored, nothing to do today. I guess I'll sit around and medicate. Superman is a hero, but only when his mind is clear, though. He needs that fix like the rest of us, so he's got no fear when he saves that bus. All the stars in the Hollywood Hills, Snapchat live when they pop them pills. All those flavors of the rainbow, too bad that shit don't work, though. Your friends are high right now, your parents are high right now. That hot chick's high right now, that cop is high right now. The president's high right now, your priest is high right now.
Yeah, RX Medicaid is really good. The whole album is really good. They actually did a cover of Chris Isaak's Wicked Game. And as soon as I saw the title on Wicked...
Are they on the beach?
I don't know.
I don't think I've ever heard that song, true.
Yes,
true.
You have.
Really? Yes, you have. I will show it to you later, Mike.
Okay, yeah, send me a link.
It's one of the most famous music videos where he's on the beach in black and white with the girl dancing around him. Or like they're like caressing and stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe you've seen it.
You have heard it.
Okay. You've heard the song. I guarantee you've heard the song.
Okay.
never dreamed that I'd meet somebody like you. And I never dreamed that I'd lose somebody like you. No, I don't wanna fall in love. No,
felt this way. What a wicked thing to could save me but you. Your strange what desire will make foolish people do. I'd never dream that I'd love somebody like you. And I'd never dream that I'd lose somebody like you.
So yeah,
but yeah, that's pretty much what I've been up to. A whole bunch of life changes. Life normally doesn't happen to me.
Well, you know what?
Well, I'm glad for you, Blanchard. I really am.
Congrats, dude.
Yeah, congrats. Yeah. Big,
absolutely.
Big changes.
Yes.
I would come to your wedding, but I finally just got mobile, and I.
Oh, that's the other thing. Yeah, no. We're not people. As much as I would want a lot of my friends and everything there, we're having her. Her best friend's husband is going to do the ceremony because he's an ordained minister.
That's good.
One of those Big Bang Theory online things, I guess. And
technically,
I don't know.
I'm an ordained minister.
Oh God, that's scary as hell.
Universal Church of Life and the Unitarian Church. I filled out a bunch of surveys and stuff. Paid $15, and I can legally marry people in 6 states and Ontario, I think, too.
That's pretty funny.
Something or other. I have to get a notary to notarize it here.
So altar boys, like, run!
When me and Blair renew our vows in 10 years, you can marry us.
I could do that, but like I was thinking, like, how do I run a business like that? I could just marry people, and then instead of saying now I kiss the bride,
drive by
like,
marriages.
No, I have to kiss the bride or institute prima nocta on everything.
Oh my God! But yeah, we're having, including Karen and I, because obviously we have to be at the wedding. You know,
sorry, you have a wedding where all these people show up to a party. You're just not there.
yeah, no.
Just didn't feel like coming.
Yeah, pretty much. We have 12 people total at this point. I've got Steve and... Well, Steve's not bringing his wife because his wife has to take care of the kids. I've got Steve, I've got Michael and probably his wife, and if Optimus Solo comes, he is not confirmed yet, but if he comes, it's him and his fiance on my side, and then the rest of it's Karen's family people. So, yeah. Just, 12 people, that's it.
Just bring a tablet and have us all Skype in.
No.
Yes, just put us on like FaceTime a chair.
God. Be safe. Put us on mute.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause hell no.
Stick your tongue down her throat.
For the glory of the Empire. I'd probably shout some weird shit like that. For the Horde. But wow, like I said, Mike, congratulations on all these big life changes, man. I really hope it works out for you.
So far, and, so good.
Yeah, so far, so good.
Coming up, Blanchard.
Exactly. Yep. About goddamn time.
Yes.
Ain't that the damn truth?
Speaking of about goddamn time, it's about time to get to the goddamn news. All right, so we're going to throw things to one of my first stories this week. And, of course, it wouldn't be Mike Dodd and Twig without talking about Ghostbusters. As we draw closer to Halloween, Netflix has just dropped its second season of Stranger Things. And as you know, it has kind of a Ghostbusters connection with the kids all wearing the uniforms, homemade proton packs, and hilarity ensues, quote unquote. And Dan Aykroyd was actually speaking with some people about Stranger Things, and CinemaBlend had asked Dan Aykroyd if he would mind doing a Ghostbusters show on Netflix. And he says, and I quote, "Yes, absolutely. Sure. I can see several possibilities there, you know. Take a cue from these guys at Stranger Things. Maybe have the Ghostbusters in high school or something." And you know what? If you had them focus on a younger series of Ghostbusters, maybe Ghostbusters in college, and kept the special effects to about the budget of, say, the average episode of Supernatural, you could pull off a 10 to 12 episode season and have it be reasonable. I mean, you don't have to fight the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man at the end of every season. You don't need a big CG monster. You just need a credible supernatural threat.
Would it be based on, like, them, not them as kids, because that wouldn't make sense.
No, because, like, they all met at Columbia.
So it'd be like their kids' kids?
Maybe, or maybe just a new franchise starting up.
Yeah.
See, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. See, if they're going to do it on Netflix, I don't want it live action. I want it animation. Well, because that way... Huh?
Well, they already have a new Ghostbusters animated series coming out next year.
Please tell me it's the people doing Voltron.
I'm not sure. And I know it's going to be... It's done by Sony Animation, if I remember correctly. I think Maurice LaMarche is involved with it. A couple of my friends are writing for it. So I'm not exactly sure when it comes out. I want to say next year. I think one of my bigger ghost friends, I don't want to drop his name in case I get
the fact. You have a ghost friend?
He's a ghost head. Ghost corpse.
Oh, like an actual ghost.
Well, it's the Sony Pictures division. They call Ghost Corps. So, and he was one of the people, he was thinking, man, I could be the showrunner for this. But he didn't get it. So if they did a Netflix show, animated would be cool if it could keep the production quality of Voltron Legendary Defender. But if they did live action, I wouldn't mind it being like kind of in the same vein as Ash versus Evil Dead, that horror comedy. And they could have a little bit more fun with it.
Yeah, like, but they already have that show.
What, Ash versus Evil? Yeah, but...
No. Ghosted.
Yeah, that's true. But I haven't heard much about that.
It's great. It aired on Fox the first two episodes, and then they moved it to FX.
Oh, okay. So it's still currently airing.
Yeah, and it's one of the highest. It's the highest rated Fox comedy of the year right now.
Even above the Orville.
They list the Orville as a drama. One hour.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
I'd be excited to see this. We'll watch.
Yeah. Like, if Dan Aykroyd could get the Ghostbusters license, and even if they wanted to set it in, quote-unquote, the Ghostbusters Prime universe, or set it in the new Ghostbusters universe, as long as it was a new franchise, I'd be okay with it. And you could even have references to the older franchisees. Like, you could, like, help me out here. Winston's person, the actor, help me out. What's his name?
Ernie Hudson.
He's not old enough he's not so old where he couldn't do a cameo. In fact, some of our people from Terrible Warriors, Derek, for example, ran into the Edmonton Ghostbusters, and there are pictures of Ernie Hudson with a proton pack on, and he still looks good.
Yeah, so Ernie's always looked good, yeah.
And he likes to do stuff like this. He's done voices for Transformers, stuff like that. There's no reason why he wouldn't get involved with this franchise. I'm sure you pay him what he's worth, which is true, and have him have fun with it. It'd be fun. You could even still tie this into the new Ghostbusters universe if you wanted to.
Just make him, like, set it in a different city, make him a franchise owner.
Yeah.
And then he basically runs the as, like, the boss.
Yeah, basically, he's the CEO, but he's very hands-off.
Because then, if they film it in a different city, they could get away with filming it in Canada to make it cheap.
Yeah, like, hell, you can set it in Vancouver. Or
it's set in Oregon or anywhere else that's close to BC.
Or, you know what, it'd be really funny if they set it in, like, just your... Like, I'm trying to think of, like, a weird town that you might not think of. You set this thing in the South, because Atlanta always has those big filming grants. The old South is full of old ghost stories. You said Ghostbusters New Orleans could be cool. And this is going to sound weird for Blanchard, but Ghostbusters Kentucky?
Would be too rednecky. Way too rednecky.
Yeah, it would be.
That would be kind of funny, though. A redneck Ghostbuster with, like, the sleeves torn off of their uniform.
No, all the ghosts would be very rednecky.
Yeah, that's what I mean. All the ghosts, yeah. Oh, I know. It's Jeff Foxworthy's new special, Redneck Ghost Hunting. There you go.
You might be a ghost neck.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like, there's so many exciting possibilities if they did get Netflix money. The problem is Netflix has lost so much money investing in new shows and new properties. They're still in that interest in growth phase right now.
Yeah.
Where they haven't yet turned a profit, or if they have been, it's been an accident.
Yeah.
So... I guess we'll have to wait and see a couple more years to see if the idea comes to fruition, but I'm hoping the new Ghostbusters animated series turns out well. I hope the talk of a new live-action Ghostbusters movie does happen again, since the unfortunate failure of the last one in 2016. We'll see what happens with Ghostbusters, because the franchise will always make money in some capacity.
Yeah.
But
what, we'll see what I'd love to see them do as a cartoon, as an animated feature, the IDW crossover, TMNT yes. Ghostbusters 1 and 2, because TMNT Ghostbusters 2 drops Wednesday, November 1st. The first issue comes out. So the second series of the TMNT Ghostbusters crossover thing is happening, like, soon. So
that's what I got for my first story. So I guess moving on to our next person. Alex, let's go to you.
You know how in the last couple of weeks we found out that essentially wireless security was hacked?
Yes.
Because first was, I think, was it WEP was a few years ago. That was the original security that people used.
Yeah, WEP.
Encryption technology. When you put a password in for your Wi-Fi. And then this, a couple weeks ago, it was WPA2, which was considered uncrackable.
Yeah, right. Which
any encryption we make can be unmade.
But if it's made by man, it is flawed.
Well, the next development is there's a new artificial intelligence that completely wrecks CAPTCHA. CAPTCHA is that, you know, when you go to a website and you go to sign in and it says, please click this button to verify you're a human, and then you got to, like, click all the pictures of things that have cars in them, or you have to enter random letters based on a picture, mm-hmm. that sort of thing.
And they blend together.
Yeah, or it'll be like, it'll play an audio clip to you and you have to type in what it said.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. Well, that was considered uncrackable because it was something that required not just interpretation. Thought. You had to visually see that it was there.
Yeah.
And thought behind it. Well, there's a very, very, very long article and detailed on Ars Technica about how a new AI was developed, and within a minute, it can crack any of them.
Wow.
So CAPTCHA, which I'm okay with because CAPTCHA sucked. Because half the time...
CAPTCHA's annoying.
It was sometimes, it was almost... Before they started with the ones with the pictures... When it was just like a picture of like letters, sometimes you couldn't read what it was.
Yeah, and you have to reload it and load it.
And yeah, so this completely changes how every website will be run, because if an AI can do it in a minute.
Yeah, exactly.
That's just a matter of writing a very basic story there, but it's something that has long term effects. It's going to change the way we do security.
Yeah, it's going to change the fact of how e-commerce works. It's going to change how cookies and authentication works, like, on websites.
We may actually get to a point where we have to do one of two things. One, when you go to log in somewhere, you physically have to call somebody so they can verify you're a human. But even then, how do you verify that?
Yeah.
Because you could just have a pre-recorded
voice. Yeah, and there's also those programs that sound so human.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or two, and what's more likely, is eventually you're going to have something like... You know, business professional software, like in media creation, even in like the early 2000s, had things where you had to have like a USB key or a serial port plugged into your computer.
Yeah.
And it was like, think, I'm talking specifically to Tristan here, you know, WoW and all those RPGs where
those two-step authentication.
Yeah, there's security keys. You have a physical object that has a generated code based off of a predetermined key.
Or one where the key just plugs in the back of the computer and it verifies what's on the key.
Some physical object.
Yeah, we're probably going to have to move into that realm, because that's something that an AI can't spoof, something that physically exists separate from the internet. Right?
Exactly.
So it might get to that point.
Yeah, and that's going to be a whole new kettle of fish.
There's a lot of costs assumed with that, so that's exactly. The danger there.
And even then, it's not a perfect system, because look how many people get their two-step authenticators ripped off from WoW and Steam.
But I want my porn now!
And even the idea of putting, tying it to, say, a social security number.
No,
will never happen. So
No, it's going to get to a point where you have to scan, like, a thumbprint or something biometrically. When you register on a website, you'll use the scanner to scan your thumb. And then when you go back to the website, you'll have to scan with that thumb again.
And even that can be cracked, because Apple has that on certain iPhones where it scans your like thumbprint, and that's imperfect.
It'll be two or three step verification.
That's insane. It'll be,
here's a thumbprint, here's my passcode, and here's a number
retina
generated
scan.
Yeah.
Give it time, I guess.
Here, DNA. Like, you might have
here's
to, like,
a blood sample.
Yeah, I was going to say, you might prick your finger, touch it, and then there you go. because we're getting to the point where anything digital, we're at a point now where the computers are smart enough that they can crack anything we throw at them.
Uh-huh. Speaking of Apple, did you guys hear about the engineer that got fired because his daughter's video went viral for the iPhone X?
Do tell.
Oh, boy. So, according to Business Insider, earlier this week, a YouTube vlogger named Brooke posted a video showing off her dad's new iPhone X. The video was even shot from within Apple's cafeteria and showcased a number of features of the new phone. Video blew up, landing YouTube's top trending video list, yada, yada, yada. In a new video posted this weekend, Peterson explains that the video was removed at the request of Apple and that her father, engineer named Ken, was fired. Yeah, well, you know, even though it's available for pre-order, it's not exactly out yet. So, the guy signed NDAs and all that.
Yeah, his daughter shouldn't have been able to do that. I mean, I could see maybe as a piece of viral marketing, but it would have had to have been step-by-step planned.
And think about this. You might argue that it wasn't his fault. He should never have been in a position to give it to her to play with.
Yeah.
Yeah, the article here goes on to say...
If under controlled circumstances.
Yeah, where she's not live videoing it, but...
Exactly.
Well, no, you know, he left it unsupervised.
Yeah, that was dumb.
Yeah, that was dumb.
And your NDA... Here's the thing. They understand, and most NDAs now will include immediate family. Like, you can talk to your wife or kids about things. But actually, a lot of times they'll even say a spouse only. Yeah. Like, you can't even tell your kids or your parents... So it was probably so tight that what he did was a breach of his contract, period.
Yeah.
Yeah, it says here, though the iPhone X is on the cusp of being publicly available, it's entirely possible that the unit he had, which Peterson showed off in the video, was a pre-production unit. Even if it wasn't, Apple assuredly doesn't want its staff casually showing off unreleased products in an unauthorized YouTube video. And viral marketing, I wouldn't even, like... Apple's marketing is much better than a YouTube video of some chick going through a phone. Like, you look at any of Apple's ads or any of their print marketing or anything they do, it's a hell of a lot more professional than, hey, I'm just going to throw a camera in my daughter's face, or my daughter's just going to turn this camera on and go through her phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, something like this, it's just... It could have been to Apple's benefit if they planned this a little bit more, because you could have got feedback from the public without having an Apple event.
Yeah,
and this... It would have been a nice piece of viral marketing, but unfortunately, because it was not controlled, it was just, hey, here's my daughter screwing around with my phone. You don't know what the kid's going to do, because your kid could break a vital feature, and it's out on the internet. You can't come back from something like that.
Yeah, no, and the thing of it is this reminds me of a couple of years ago. Was it the 6 or the 7?
Mm-hmm.
Where some guy left it in a bar, the prototype. I remember the story. I remember us talking about this. You know, and I'm like, really, Apple? You're going to have two of these types of stories within a few years of each other? Really?
Yeah, and that's just kind of lack security and internal protocols on their behalf, which is really unfortunate, because the iPhone X looks really cool, but...
It's not worth a grand.
No. Because that's basically a good desktop.
Well, and people argue, like, oh, it has a good camera and stuff. And here's my argument.
You can buy a Rebel.
Well, here's the thing. For $500, you could get a phone that is either just as powerful or more powerful from another brand. Yeah. Or you could get yourself, I have the iPhone SE, which is based on the iPhone 5 case, but it has, like, iPhone 6 or 7 innards.
Yeah.
And that's the perfect size for me to use. So you can get that for $300, and then for $500, you can get yourself a digital SLR high-end camera.
Yeah.
And the argument is, oh, well, it's compact. Well, you could use the camera that's built on the phone and still have a high-end camera afterwards and still save $200. There's no need for that. The screens are at a point now where they don't need to make them any better.
Yeah, no. I mean, like, we were, to bring it back to my personal life, we were at David's Bridal, and their app would not work on either one of Karen and I's phones, because we do Android now. I didn't want to go Android, but it was just so much easier and, honestly, so much cheaper at the time. So I have a Samsung Galaxy S7. We couldn't get the David's Bridal app to work, but the lady brought over this giant iPad. I don't know which one it was. It was a white one or whatever else. I don't remember what. And Karen said, "Here, hold this while I." She was doing something. So I hold the thing in my hand, and I'm like, "Hey, look, it's a giant phone."
Well, yeah, it is. You could use it that way if you wanted.
Yeah, that's just unnecessary. Like,
you look ridiculous holding it up to your face, but
yeah, well, pretty much.
Unless you're a giant, then you could do it.
Yeah, that's true. So, I don't know. I just find it funny that the Apple marketing gets, you know, I don't know, stranger and stranger every year. They have at least one story every other new release that, oh hey, we have a leak.
Well, they know their price point is too high for everything, so they're trying to generate hype any way they can, and they have a loyal following for that. But if they can kind of capitalize on things that happen and try to generate interest whatever way possible, they could get people to look past the $1,000 price point.
It's because they always have to do more and do bigger, do better, more profit.
And at this point, what is there to iterate on currently with phone technology? Why is this $1,000 phone exists? How much better can it be than what is already out there?
No, you know, instead of giving me this crazy 4K phone with this and blah, 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 you know what you do? Double my battery life.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't need a thinner phone. I need a longer lasting one.
I want a tougher phone. I would be happy if the
phone was 1.5 times as thick, but gave me 3 times the battery.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want something where I don't need an OtterBox. And I know the iPhone X and stuff is water resistant. No, I want waterproof.
Yeah.
I want something that can be submerged for no less than 2 minutes.
And there are ones that do that. The blue phone, surprisingly, even though they're usually considered a cheaper phone, the high-end blue phone that's like $400, which would translate to like $1,000 if it was from a name brand, it's meant for construction sites, so you can like run over it with your car, submerge it in 4 feet of water.
Yeah.
So you can do that. There are specialty phones out there. Apple doesn't do it, though.
Nope, because they want the technology to break.
Yeah. And the thing with Apple is, and even to a lesser extent, the Android phones, like with Samsung, like Karen and I have the same case that we use for our phones, and that is the Snug, I believe it is.
Okay.
It's the snug.co.uk or the snug.com here in the US. It's basically a leather-bound case that the phone fits into it, and it folds over. She showed me hers when we first met, and I'm like, oh, she's like, yeah, I haven't used a purse in probably 10 years, because she can fit all her credit cards and ID and everything.
Blair does the same thing. They call that a wallet.
It's a wallet flip cover, and it's just so amazing and whatever else. The only time I have an issue with using my phone is when I don't have it in the case, because I'm like, oh my god, if I break this, it's going to, you know, if I drop this, it's going. And I know they have, you know, the unbreakable whatever the hell and all this and all that and everything else, but it's like the Samsung even the Galaxy S7, which is what we have, it is super, it's not as thin as a lot of the other ones, but it's thin enough to where it feels in my hand where it's like, if I trip and fall and this thing goes flying out of my hand, it's dead. So very rarely do I ever not have it in the case.
Well, not to mention, like, the only thing you got to worry about then is, what happens if you lose the phone? You lose all your credit cards and everything else, too.
Plus,
you also have to even think about stuff, because there's now phones where you can just tap your phone to stuff.
That's true.
And pay.
I'm not a big fan of using digital wallets yet.
Yeah, neither am I. Only for certain.
Especially now when we're reading that security's been cracked on a lot of things, right? Now, that hasn't been done yet, though. Like the kind of payments they're doing, that kind of cryptography, but it's...
Give it time.
Yeah, so I was an early adopter of the debit card when debit went everywhere in the 90s. Because my area of town was a pilot area for it. And I think we got the chip tapping cards, like the, what do they call it,
just debit tap
or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
We got that like 3 years before anybody else did.
I remember being one of the first people to get that too, because my particular credit union was doing that too. I remember even getting my debit card.
And I was
card
hesitant about that because when it first came out, you could tap any amount, and because we were in the pilot program, and then we're like, no, that's not a good idea. I don't want to be able to empty my bank account without putting in a code.
Yeah. No.
So now they do limits like $50 or $25. And that's basically to like get gas or get milk and whatever.
Get food or whatever.
You're going up at Tim Hortons, you pop, there you go.
Yeah. And that was actually one of the main factors of me getting it, was like going to coffee shops. Well, remember, Tim Hortons was a cash only business for the longest time.
Yep.
And then they started allowing debit and it slowed everybody down. But then they were one of the first places to have tap. So you could just walk in and go doop. And then you get your stuff within 10 seconds.
Yeah, I remember when I used to work for AT&T, it was a big deal. You couldn't place a debit order unless it was above a certain amount.
Well, they still do that because the companies get charged between 50 cents and a dollar for every transaction you do that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like, and most of the time when you go to certain, if you're just getting, like, a pack of gum or something, like, just bring the little change purse or whatever you have with you. You don't have to. It's like, oh god.
Yeah, I've done the thing where I've didn't want to go to the bank, or the bank was closed, and I didn't want to use one of the ATMs that wasn't through my bank. So I've gone into Walmart, bought a stick of gum for a dollar, and then got $40 cash back.
Oh yeah, and you can do that easily with the. You don't even have to do that through a regular register. You can just do that at the self checkout. That's the since he brought up Walmart, not to throw any fire on Tristan or anything, but like in general, the grocery bagger profession has really slumped down over the years.
I've never seen a grocery bagger in my whole life.
Really?
The only place that still does it is Sobeys here.
Maybe Zares. Maybe nope. When I lived back home. Maybe.
They'll do it for old people if they have somebody available, but they got rid of that just like they got rid of free bags. We have to pay 5 or 10 cents per bag now, right?
Well, that depends on the municipality.
No.
Certain ones
No, it depends on the it's mom and pop shops you don't have to pay.
Yeah.
But all of the major grocery chains now, as of the last 3 years, when they got rid of the penny.
Yeah. Because I remember when I was younger, we used to...
Wait, do you still have pennies in the States?
Yes, we do.
Oh, God.
Sadly, yes, we do. Yes. The cool thing for me with some of the stuff is, like, Karen will just bag this. Like, she doesn't need, she politely refuses the bagger. Because what my point here is that we used to be taught, because I was a bagger for a long time as a kid, we used to be taught the right way to bag groceries and the wrong way.
Oh.
And everybody today still does it the wrong way.
Oh, what? You want your eggs and milk right on the bottom, and then we're going to put everything else on top for you? Oh, wait, what? You want that 4-liter or the whatever...
Gallon.
A gallon of olive oil in the glass container? Oh yeah, we'll just shove that right on top of your fresh fruit and
ever since
some raw
I went
chicken
to...
on top of your lettuce.
Yes, exactly. Ever since I went to California, hanging out with Doug and Alicia, my friends out there, and they have you guys have seen my Boston Red Sox canvas bag. I think that I have. It's one of those bags you can get like at Walmart and things like that. Doug got it for me at Comic-Con last year for some odd reason. I don't know why. There was a Boston Red Sox thing out in California. Anyway, Doug and his wife have like 6 different versions of those types of bags, so they don't even pay the bag charge at all. It's like they just bring their own, and it's so much easier. And the bags won't break.
Oh, yeah, I do that myself too, usually.
Yeah.
So I guess moving on to our final round of stories, let's hit up Tristan.
Did Tristan get his first story?
I haven't talked much, but my stories are both similar in that they're talking about endings of things. First off, the Microsoft Kinect has stopped production. There is no more manufacturing of that product, although its influence is certainly noticed across a lot of industries. We've already talked a bunch about Apple and everything else. Siri, Alexa, all these voice recognition Cortana. Softwares. Cortana, of course. Actually, the people behind the Kinect moved on to make Cortana. But the actual original Kinect is no longer in production. So once everything is sold out now, it won't be returning. They're going to continue offering support for the Kinect and the software behind it, but there's not really a lot of information as to what developer tools will be going forward.
Which I always thought was kind of weird for them. They, like last year, Microsoft unveiled this platform called Mixer, which was a way for console people to live stream everything without the use of capture cards and everything else. You could just stream it to Twitch or wherever. And the Kinect seemed like the perfect tool for that because you have a video camera and a microphone built in. Plus, with Microsoft's acquisition of Skype, that's how I did Nerd News for a long time with Blanchard, is I would just do it via my Kinect in the living room. Mm-hmm. And I always thought Kinect was a useful tool. Now, if you look through all the Xbox One games that use Kinect, the only ones that really tried were Dance Central and Fruit Ninja, I think. And then there were other Kinect games like Fighters Unleashed, the terrible Dragon Ball Z one, Steel Battalion.
Yeah, I was going to say Steel Battalion.
But there were so many missed opportunities with Kinect because the technology just wasn't there yet. And do you guys remember when the Xbox 360 had Kinect and they tried to push Kinectimals or whatever the fuck
it was? Oh, yeah. I'm not even a Microsoft video game guy when it comes to consoles, and even I remember that crap.
There was somebody on my Facebook or my Twitter about a year ago had mentioned to me about this because I talked about Kinect on some other podcast, and they were like, hey, Mike, do you remember when you said fuck Sprinkles? The stupid Kinect tiger or whatever it was. And I just remember, it's really sad that never came quite to light, because I thought Kinect was a cool idea, and if you could have got it to work properly, you literally could have had that Minority Report / Jarvis interface on your TV where you wave your hands and moving stuff around, but the tracking just wasn't there. One of the more interesting uses of the Kinect camera I've seen is actually in the ghost hunting field. A lot of people use Kinect cameras because of all the micro sensors in it to track micro movements in the environment to see if you can supposedly see ghosts with it and stuff like that. And there's been some pretty weird evidence with it, but I'll leave you to whether you think that's true or not. When Microsoft stopped bundling it with their Xbox Ones, I think it was a smart idea. When I won one of my Xbox Ones from Doritos about 2 years ago, my Xbox One didn't come with a Kinect. The Kinect in my the Microsoft Xbox One in my living room is still my original launch one, which has a Kinect, which is by my Optimus Prime. And it still works. Although it's funny, though, that they stopped production on the Kinect this year, and the Cortana voice app, I'm pretty sure, just came out in the last 8 months. So it seems curious that Microsoft would drop these things. And like Tristan was said, they're not sure what developer tools will remain available. But game over for Kinect.
Yeah, the team behind the Kinect has moved on to other projects. Microsoft has a context-aware user interface they're working on called Gaze, Gesture, and Voice, which is pretty much what it sounds like. It uses the same sort of idea as Kinect to identify where the user is looking, gestures the user is doing, and voice commands to automate and interact with whatever software is developed for it. So the technology that they did with the Kinect, they're trying to do some other things with it, but the Kinect itself, they've been kind of pulling back and pulling back with its support, making the Xbox more about the games, less about the interface with them, and moving those specialty teams to other projects it will work better for, say, multimedia and design.
I'm wondering if Xbox will ever get, especially with the launch of the Xbox One X coming in just a few weeks, if not sooner, what's going to happen with the HoloLens, because I know they showed that off at E3 a couple years ago, and that looked really cool. And there's been a few mixed reality events in Toronto of late. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen with some of the future products maybe some of the Kinect developers moved on to.
Yeah,
but I guess we'll just have to kind of wait and see.
Exactly. It'll take time, and affordability is a major point, because I think VR is great, but it's out of my price range. So I know a lot of other people are in a similar situation where these technologies, they're great, they look fun, but there's not enough there to really justify dropping that much money on that sort of thing.
Yeah, there is no game in VR that I have to play right now. Maybe on the PlayStation Pro, Resident Evil 7 would be something, because that's a really good VR experience from what I've heard.
I'd always be afraid that somebody's just going to walk up behind me and just like
tap you on the shoulder.
Yeah.
And fuck with you. Well, and your thing goes flying across the room.
Well, I was going to say, like, somebody could just flick me in the nuts and I wouldn't even know.
Well, I'm pretty sure you'd notice someone flicked you in the nuts.
Yeah.
No, that they were there.
Yeah.
Or even worse, taking off my gear and having somebody just sitting in the room staring at me.
See, I want VR technology to be wireless. But to transmit that much data, the technology's simply just not there yet. I think VR, going back to bigger batteries. Yeah, like, I think VR is a technology that was maybe 1 or 2 years a little early. Like, if VR had come out now, maybe. But even the PlayStation VR set, it's like $300-$400.
Yeah, they've been trying to do VR for decades. It's just been that dream that everyone has. This is what technology has to do. Virtual reality is the future. So people keep trying to make VR. And we're almost there, but there's still this little thing.
We're about 10 years away.
Yeah.
From it being feasible for everybody to have it.
Yeah.
I just like the fact that you look at something not like the Oculus Rift, but I think it's the HTC Vive. You have to have a huge living room. Like, you need, like, 10 feet to use this thing.
Like, that's just like the Kinect here. One of its downfalls is it wouldn't work for everybody because some people's play area wasn't big enough. So VR and this sort of technology, it's difficult to use in any space.
Yeah, like, my Kinect, I've always lived in small apartments. One of my games I had was Disney's Fantasia for the Kinect, and because I couldn't stand back far enough, I couldn't do the music to it. I couldn't play the orchestra because the Kinect camera couldn't detect me properly.
I'm just picturing you putting on the wizard hat thing and just...
Countdown, control, 4, 3, 2, 1.
God, that's scary.
Only with you, it would probably be like a couple dildos that you're using.
Oh God! Okay,
I was gonna some sort of
night on Bald Mountain with dildos.
Like God, the kinky air traffic controller.
That's how we roll in this Magic Kingdom.
Oh boy.
So I guess any other final story? Actually, no. I have a review this week.
Well, before you have that, I have this. This actually got posted on the 24th of October. Mark your calendars, video game fans. April 24th, 2018. For the MSRP of $80, but I'm sure you can pre-order on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or whatever for a cheaper price. Video Game Art Book, The Legend of Zelda, Encyclopedia Deluxe Edition Hardcover. The Legend of Zelda is one of the most successful franchises of all time, with nearly 20 video games and 30 years of history, but it all started with a gold cartridge. This is from Dark Horse Comics Entertainment. Legend of Zelda Encyclopedia Deluxe Edition honors the game that started it all by recreating the original gold cartridge as faithfully as possible. The book comes with a black polypropylene sleeve lined with velvet flocking and scale instruction booklet with fun theme appropriate material inside. The cover is a gold foil paper with gloss lamination and a spot graffiti varnish. Details are embossed and debossed. It has gold gliding on the top and foredge, with black gliding on the bottom. A comprehensive collection of enemies and items, potions to Pose, an expansion of the lore touched upon in Hyrule Historia. Concept art, screen caps, maps, main characters, and how they relate, languages, and much, much more, including an exclusive interview with series producer Eli Aonuma. Probably screwed that up. This is the Last of the Goddess Collection trilogy, which includes Hyrule Historia and the Art and Artifacts. It is a treasure trove of explanations for, and information for about every aspect of the Legend of Zelda universe. Celebrate over 30 years of Zelda with a heartfelt homage to the origins of this legendary franchise. I want this damn thing.
I had Hyrule Historia for a little while, and I thought that was really cool. I sold it a couple of years ago, so I can tell you the quality of the books are definitely worth it.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's it, as well. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's Dark Horse. I don't expect the quality to not be well at good or well or anything at all. But like, I want this. Like, damn, because I just want it for the display. I want to see the information, but. I just shared the image on Facebook, and it's the friggin' cartridge. I mean, come on, who doesn't want that to display on their bookshelf, you know?
You know what? I just had this thought now, and maybe there'll be some generous GeekCast radio listener.
Yeah, right.
Someone for Blanchard for his wedding should get him a Switch and Breath of the Wild. If you like Zelda, you'll love this.
I kind of stopped at A Link to the Past. A Link to the Past is my heroine, I guess you could say. I love that game.
I think you'd really dig Breath of the Wild. Or if one of your fans got you a 3DS. What was the other one called, Alex, was like Link to the Past?
A Link Between Worlds. That's the sequel, yeah.
Speaking of video games, I've got a brief review this week. We're going to be talking about this. So from the developers of the Jackbox Party Pack from Jackbox Games, we actually got a review copy of the Jackbox Party Pack 4, which came out just a couple of weeks ago on October 17th. And we had a chance to actually play this. And as you know, the Jackbox Party Pack games come packed with like three or four or more different party style games. In this particular edition, you get Fibbage 3, Survive the Internet, Monster Seeking Monster, Civic Doodle, and Bracketeering. We actually played this on my birthday, and it's a lot of the same stuff you've seen before. Like Fibbage, it's exactly what it is. It's Fibbage. You lie to the audience. Survive the Internet is basically take the piss out of each other. Like, I might say something, it'd be like, how do you feel about socks? And then the question would go to Alex, and he'd try and turn that around on me, so to speak. And then we'd have Monster Seeking Monster, which is a really weird dating game. You have to send 4 messages, and you want people to date you, and you get powers or something. It's really weird. The only one we didn't try because we couldn't get it to work was Bracketeering. We kept getting hard crashes. And Civic Doodle is very similar to Drawful, where you basically you're an artist in a city, you're given part of a piece of art and your job is to complete it. Ours went very offensive very fast, in our experience. And it's basically you're a drawing game, though not as fun as T-Fury from last year, or TKO, I think it was called. We just call it the T-shirt game. So playing the Jackbox Party Pack 4, Fibbage this year is really good. I thought so. Like, and it's got this really weird 1970s like vibe to it because all the user stock images look like they're taken out of like IKEA catalogs from like 1974. Survive the Internet can get real offensive real fast. I wish I could tell you what Alex wrote, but I thought I was gonna piss myself laughing when it was just a lot of static and no substance.
Oh.
Oh boy, the things I wish I could say. Civic Doodle, as we said, got very offensive. Monster Seeking Monster, we didn't have as much fun with because it's one that requires a lot more thinking than you might think. And like I said, Bracketeering, every time we try to launch it, we couldn't get into a room, or we'd get into a room and it would kick us out immediately. So me and Alex were talking about this. We've played the Jackbox Party Pack probably around 4 or 5 times now between me, Tristan, and Blair, his Lacey, which is one of our neighbors, his Lacey, Tristan's fiance, whatever, wife, whatever. And we've all played this a few times. We haven't streamed it yet because, oh God.
I don't think The world's ready for that.
No. We used to stream these games back in the day. We used to have people come into the audience. And that's what I love about these games. They're great audience participation games.
If you want to stream, we can stream them. We just wouldn't release them as mainline podcasts.
Oh, my God, no.
No, for mature audiences only.
Yeah, for mature and deranged.
For immature but adult audiences only.
But this one...
So all the Twig fans would fit right in.
Yeah, pretty much.
For the most part, but... It gets dark right quick.
It retails for, I think, between $20 and $30. This year's edition, I think, is worth it. I really like Survive the Internet. I think that's probably one of the strongest additions to this year. But the problem is, and this is something me and Alex have talked about back and forth a few times, we think it's server issues because you keep getting disconnected.
Well, it's not just disconnected. There are some things that don't seem to be loading
proper
in sync. Or it gives you a room code, you enter the room code, and it says that's not a room code.
Yeah, or people will be playing, and they'll get timed out in the middle of their answer.
Yeah, but it seemed to happen more on the what was it, the computer one?
Yeah, Survive the Internet.
That was the one that we had the most issues on. So it's something that could probably be fixed on a server end. They may not even need to patch your end.
Yeah,
it may be something that patches on their end.
Yeah, it maybe just might mean they need to turn on a few more servers.
And we did only try it on the one system when we were playing all together.
Yeah, like it may work more successfully on PlayStation 4. Yeah. But on our Xbox One experience, I'd say it was fairly successful. I would say give this definitely, yeah. If you have a friend that has it, definitely play it. As for right now, I'd maybe wait a few weeks, maybe see if something can be smoothed out.
I'm also thinking it's possible because it's also available on the Switch. This is the first time they've launched on three systems at once.
So it could be just
server load and stuff too.
Yeah, so definitely worth checking out. You can get this across a multitude of systems, PlayStation, PC. It's ludicrously fun. It's so stupid. Guaranteed if you listen to this podcast, you have a like dirty mind.
I drew a lot of dirty things.
It's not natural. That's my favorite. The ghost poop. Anyway, but yeah, you can pick this up from Jackbox Games. Totally worth it. But maybe wait a week or two. Maybe see if things get smoothed out a little bit. But definitely worth your time and effort to play. So I guess that's pretty much going to do it for this edition of the Nerd News Network.
I got like two quickies.
Okay, go ahead.
Basically, one, WWE is going to be going all out for their 25th anniversary of Raw in January. So the talk is that they're going to have a lot of... former superstars come back. I'm thinking
Hogan comes back.
Sorry?
Hogan comes back that day?
That's what I'm thinking. If they're going to bring him back, now's the time. And the fact that Vince loves money and Hogan has lots and lots and lots of Gawker money now.
Yeah.
and enough time has simmered down that like people can forget things.
Well, I think Hogan made enough of a public apology from what I understand.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Nobody, it didn't look like anybody in the company was mad at him. It was just a PR thing. They're just like, we can't be associated because of this.
Yeah. There was something that kind of makes me think about this, and I just saw this today on Facebook, and it was a great meme, I guess. Just because you were a toxic person once, that's okay, as long as you've learned from it. And if Hogan has truly grown and learned in that time...
But that brings up the whole thing. Are you a toxic person because you say one thing when you're drunk?
Yeah.
Or is that just unfortunate and timing. You apologize and move on?
Yeah.
So now we're 2 years removed, 2.5 years removed from
At
this.
Least, yeah.
So I think, if anything, like, even though he wasn't part of Raw when Raw launched because he had already left the company.
Yeah, because he was in WCW.
That for being... It's 25 years on national television.
And he is an American icon.
So, I would say that's the best time to have him come back. I can't think of anybody else. I want to see Scott Steiner there, but that's not happening. That when I met him last month, and he gives no fucks. Like first thing he does when he is not family friendly, at the wrestling show. The first thing he does when he comes out to the ring is turns the mic on and goes, "You done fucked up, son." Like that's how he starts his promo. But yeah, I would say that's, I think, middle of January. It should be worth checking out. They're probably going to do a lot of promotion for it because it's not like Raw 1000, but instead of being a quantity thing, this is a qualitative thing of how long it's been.
Yeah.
And... So it's pretty significant because Vince McMahon might not be here for the 30th. You never know. He's in his 70s now.
Yeah, something could happen.
That man will never die.
Okay, like, but he's not making it to the 50th.
Yeah, guaranteed.
So
they could put him in suspended animation. You know,
just like
that could work.
Just give my body a robot makeover.
Yeah, exactly.
Fired. And
I mean,
speaking of fired,
mm-hmm.
the other WWE story is Emma's gone.
And Darren.
Really?
And Summer Rae.
Yeah.
All three.
Well, Summer Rae hasn't been doing much on TV recently, anyway.
I think she's been on TV for a few months.
But isn't Emma in main feud right now?
She just debuted Asuka.
Yeah.
So this is what happens when you're ready for Asuka. You get fired.
Well, but at the same time, it's not a bad match to go out on.
Yeah. She went out on top.
But also, like, no, she didn't.
She's, against Asuka. It was a good match.
I know, but she's never been on top. I'd like
the only time she was on top is with Santino.
I was going to say, I'd like her to be on top of me, but...
I feel bad for her, because I think she deserved better than what she got.
She has
absolutely, yeah.
She's gorgeous. She's married, she's Zack Ryder's girlfriend.
I don't care.
And he's a lucky man.
Come
he's
at
a lucky
me, bro.
Man.
I don't care. one of the smaller guys there. I don't care.
I like him better because he. I've talked with him a few times on Twitter, oddly enough, about Ghostbusters. He's a genuinely friendly fellow.
Yeah, but he's one of the guys that's going to be broke when he gets fired from WWE eventually because he spends all his money on memorabilia.
Yeah,
dude spent like $30,000 on one toy.
He's got a really nice Ghostbusters collection. I'll say that he actually has one of the original slime blowers.
Like,
and I'm really
he's one of the guys where he's not a bad wrestler. He's not this. He's just not. And he has some.
He's just not a main eventer.
He's not. Yeah, and I look at him. I'm like, don't spend your money. You're not one of the wrestlers. You're not going to get John Cena money. You're not going to get The Rock money. You know, you're not going to get Hogan money. You're not going to get Shawn Michaels money. You're never going to be that kind of guy. Your residual checks are going to get less and less when you're gone.
Yeah, but like I said, so good luck to Emma. Good luck to Summer Rae. Good luck to Darren Young. Hopefully, you guys find more success in the indies.
Darren Young. Did they just let him go silently?
Like, no.
Yeah,
no.
Pretty much.
Yeah,
I mean...
Them and Summer Rae, they just said
that's a lot of bad PR if they let him go. Like, their only openly gay wrestler.
Yeah. But he had a lot of injury problems.
He was a glass...
Glass cannon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't actually seen him do anything major since he was with NXT. Not NXT, the Nexus.
Is this brand stuff?
Well, I mean, well, no.
No, the Nexus, when the Nexus debuted.
They were with Bob Backlund, right?
No, that's his last shit. That doesn't count. No, his last sort of push was when he was tagging as was the primetime players with Titus.
Yeah.
Against
with Titus, yeah.
And then he got hurt right at the same time that that Tyson Kidd broke his neck.
Oh, geez. Yeah, that's right.
So when that happened, both of those teams just shut right down.
But Cesaro's at least was able to come back from that.
Now he's missing his teeth. so it's sad. Like, it's rapid fire. I heard that they were in cost-cutting mode, which makes sense. You cut the fat. You cut away people you don't want. I'm just glad they kept Rhino because he's, like, hilarious.
Well, yeah, him and Heath Slater because he's got kids.
He's got kids.
I'm finally happy that they did something with Rowan and Harper outside of the Wyatt. I'm like, oh god, thank god they did something with them.
Blood Brothers or something?
Bludgeon Brothers is what it is. I think it's great. I've never made any qualms about saying this. I loathe the Wyatt family gimmick.
Yeah,
I just don't like it.
Well, you see, I see them, and then all I think of is. The Hardys did it better when they were at TNA.
I think the problem is with the Wyatt family. You know, this is a topic for Mayhem Mikes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It is.
We should do one soon.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, anyway, let's close out Nerd News Network.
So, goodbye, people. Sorry.
So, hope you guys will have a safe and happy Halloween this Tuesday. Stay tuned for me and Alex's review of South Park, The Fractured Butthole from Ubisoft. Then tune in Friday nights on Discord to hear us play the Cambridge Chronicles if you happen to be a Patreon supporter of Terrible Warriors. So for This Week in Geek, we have been
Alex,
Mr. Christopher,
and TFG and Mike.
Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, live free or die hard. We'll catch you guys again next week right here on thisweekingeek.net. And once again, have a safe and happy Halloween.
the things I'm forced to put up with.
Kit?
Yes, Michael?
Just keep driving.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show.
So don't miss it.
I have seen the mountaintops, and they are glorious.
You can go to sleep on top of them and be comfy.
Wait. Say that again, slowly.
Tristan, Andrew, Donald, William, Winkworth.
Tadworth.
It's a good thing you're not British, because you would almost be entitled to a crown.
Man, whoa, man, we had the best Chinese food. Tristan, have you had Double Dragon in this town?
I have not.
The little lady there, she's like, oh, yum, 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 I don't speak English, blah, 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 blah. Here's your food.
Insert offensive item right here.
Hey, don't look at me. I'm not putting them up to it. They just keep talking about me.
Pre-show? What was the pre-show?
So everything you saw before that was pre the show, which makes a pre-show.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content. As well, subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by at replying to at thisweekingeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at pronobozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember...
Lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
That was wonderful!
Bravo!
I loved that!
Oh, it was great!
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good, though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
It was terrible!
Get him away!
Hey, boo!
Boo!
Grr. Arg.